Depression is an illness of the soul, and my faith failed me. In 2014, a friend confessed that he had been battling depression and had been on antidepressants for a number of years. This friend is one of the most brilliant minds I have ever met. He seems to have it all together and is admired by many. This confession took me by surprise because I never could have imagined that someone like him would be struggling with depression. I voiced my doubts to him. I told him he seemed okay. He didn't look like it. Was he sure? My naivety on the subject was clear. But what that confession did for me was life-changing and took me on my own journey to face my own demons. What I knew about depression was that people who suffered from it were sad all the time. That's it. However, since that conversation, my understanding has changed dramatically, especially suicidal depression. Looking back at my life in the months prior to that conversation, and as I read and educated myself on mental health, I concluded that if there is a spectrum on depression, then I am somewhere on it, despite my quick reassurances to my friend that day. I have days when I'm overwhelmed with life. I question my existence and can't find a good enough reason for it. It leaves me with profound emptiness, which I do not know what to do with, but sit with it, cover myself with, and stew in it. They say depression is a mental illness, but I think it is more than that. It is an illness of the soul. The soul, as defined by Wikipedia, is the incorporeal essence of a living being. It is the mental ability of a living being, reason, character, feeling, consciousness, memory, perception, thinking, etc. Incorporeal means without a physical body, presence or form. Therefore, it makes sense to me that it is a sort of malfunction of the soul. I have had numerous psychologists rightfully say that some symptoms of depression include not enjoying the activities one used to, social isolation, and difficulty getting out of bed. On that last point, it is not the usual, "Oh my God, it's Monday, I can't get up." Rather, it is that you literally and inexplicably cannot get out of bed. The thing about sleep in this case, like many of life's vices, including alcohol and drugs, is that for a moment you forget everything and do not exist. Getting out of bed means facing yourself in this mess, and it is too much. On some days, the mess falls to the background, and there you are, smiling, getting work done, having a social life, being productive. However, the mess still clings to you. It never leaves. Hence the yo-yo effect of, today I'm fine, next week I'm back in the thick of it. Sometimes this cycle is weeks or months long. And no, talking to someone does not seem to help. You don't even want to talk to anyone, even a good friend. I lost a great friend during one of these periods because I couldn't bring myself to pick up phone calls as I felt I couldn't do it. As a nation that is religious or spiritual, if you will, depression can be closely linked with God. Let me explain. Like most Kenyans, I have grown up going to church. I grew up Catholic and even served at the altar. Every Sunday, my mother would wake us up, scolding us when we were not moving fast enough to make it for the 9 a.m. service. The struggle to get up and get ready to go to church, with all the rushing and scolding, always felt like a punishment. If you are Catholic, then you know how ceremonial the Mass is. Because everything is structured so tightly and unfolds in the same way every time, after attending for years, you can be present in the body, but be totally checked out mentally during Mass. So because I knew the flow, I had gotten used to zoning out after the second reading when it was time for the priest to deliver the sermon. Around me were people dozing off, so I thought, zoning out was better than blatantly sleeping in church. Besides, what if my mom's friends from Jumuiya saw me and told her? In any case, we sang, "Jesus Loves Me," long before we could comprehend what that love looks like. We were taught to pray and love God more as an obligation than because we meant it. We were taught to profess our love to God more than actually understand it. Why should we love Him? Because He made us, His Son died on the cross for our sins, because we hope to go to heaven when life on earth ends. Doesn't the Bible teach us to instruct our children in the way of the Lord, and they will never depart from it? So, we grew up believing all of this before we had time to question any of it. We are told that as children of God, we are special and are here for a purpose. It reached a point when I could no longer carry on with all of this simply out of obligation. In 2015, I started questioning this whole notion of a God-given purpose after going through a year of overwhelming hopelessness. I wanted to know for myself who God was, if He exists, if He loved me, what He wants from me, and so on. I was really going out of my mind at this point because I was having an identity crisis. Relying on the idea of God loving me because the Bible says so wasn't enough. I needed to know for myself, and I didn't. The reason this is important is because when we grow up in a religious nation, a huge part of our identity rests on religion, faith, God, whatever you wish to call it. When this is shaken, the center cannot hold, and we crumble. I didn't know just how huge a part of my identity God was until I was shaken and I felt I had lost myself. The death in my life came from a loss of faith. It was time to get out of the childish way of obligatory faith and really believe as a choice. But the truth is, I couldn't find my footing. Feeling worthless, I began seeking out answers to my existence. I'm sure to those around me, I looked fine and had accomplished a lot. But inside, I was stuck. My whole life felt like a lie the moment I wondered what my purpose in life was. Answers on the mystery of God, on how we should not question His ways, were no longer good enough. It is like when someone dies and people quickly say that his will is being done. Such answers didn't cut it for me anymore. I wondered, was I an agnostic, a nihilist? Are all depression sufferers just pessimists? It was the beginning of an identity breakdown that has brought me to my knees and left me there. I don't know who I am, and the personality and character attributes ascribed to me by others feel foreign. What I know is that on some days, it is like I am trapped in limbo, neither alive nor dead. I wonder why I am wrapped in this mess, never moving forward or backwards. It is like you're sitting on the edge of a cliff and you can't jump off nor retreat to safety. This is what depression looks like, to and for me. The antidepressants you might be prescribed ensure you keep retreating to safety, while suicidal ideation ensures you take that leap. When I think about people I know or I know about who have died by suicide, including Millie Kithinji, Stephen Mumbo, Robin Williams, Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade, Avicii, several students in Kenyan universities, I am certain of one thing. Prior to their deaths, they were on this cliff, like so many of us are, questioning their existence, even those who seem to have it all: money, fame, love, power. Even with all this, they must have asked, who am I? I know it sounds selfish, especially to those of us struggling financially. You wonder, this person had it all and still ended their life. And so, people call them sinners and criminals for ending their lives. And we reach for the refrain we have always been told since childhood, that life is precious and a gift from God. Even when we don't feel it, and when our cruel society shows us our lives don't matter, especially if you're not rich and not politically connected. Take Millie Kithinji, who died by suicide this March. This wasn't a spur of the moment decision for her. For a long time, since around 2017, she had been begging God for strength and grace to carry on through the trials she was facing, going by her Facebook posts. She was unemployed with a young daughter. The father of her child had abandoned her, and she was struggling to make ends meet. The spiral was slow but steady. We don't know what else was shaking her identity to the point where she wondered what she was doing alive instead of dead. Who knows how many times she came close to ending her life, but perhaps the thought of her daughter kept her going until this last time. Ultimately, ending the pain took the upper hand to holding on for the sake of love. Another recent case was Stephen Mumbo, who was a star employee at audit firm PricewaterhouseCoopers. He was intelligent, a family man, and a committed employee. He was put together and had everything going for him. The death of his mother shook him, and perhaps other things we don't know. Piecing his last moments alive reveals a trail of work-related stress and a man who was broken long before he fell to his death. Those like Millie and Stephen were on the cliff, hurting, feeling the burden of their mess and how all the love from their families did not count in that moment before they jumped off the cliff. "They will be better off without me," they must have thought. When you're on the cliff, you sit there until jumping is the only viable option to end the pain. It is the only option because you have retreated to safety many times, perhaps from friends who checked up on you or the thought of loved ones. Yet here you are, back at the cliff, and the pain is too much. Yes, suicide is a choice. It is the only choice in that moment. And if you have ever come close to jumping, then you understand. Granted, I still don't have answers. I can only describe what my depression looks like in hopes that someone out there might see themselves through this. You don't have to know my name, gender, age, or educational status to resonate with me. Because the truth is that a lot of things will bring you and your mess to the edge of the cliff. Mine is my identity crisis. What you can bear might be too much for another person. What has brought me here is a mess, perhaps easily cleaned up by somebody else. What will bring you here is a mess that I could easily discard. What is your mess? Are you sitting on the edge of the cliff too? If you or someone you know is experiencing depression or suicidal thoughts, or if you want to know more, reach out to Befrienders Kenya on +254 722 178 177 or the Meshack Sampson Foundation at +254 715 713 212. You can also find these organizations on Facebook.